Well, good morning, everyone. I hope everyone had a blessed Christmas and a safe and happy New Year coming up among us soon. Every year, just before Christmas, we are all looking for that perfect Christmas card for that special person, aren't we? All the guys are huddled around the wife section in the card section, or either in Publix or at a card store, and the ladies are huddled into where the husband section is, or a section where friends or relatives, whatever the case might be. And if we're too late, all we are is staring at a bunch of empty envelopes, aren't we? But we're all looking for the special words that express our love to that person that we're giving that card to. Well, I went on the internet and I found some things that were in some Christmas cards I want to share with you. Here are some samples. One is, "I've been waiting all year to get you under that mistletoe." Another card says, "Some people go their whole lives without finding that very special person. I'm glad that's not us." Another one says, "Please look in the mirror and give yourself a kiss from me." Another one, "Chimes and bells are the sounds of the season. Holiday greetings to the bell ringer in my life." Another one, "Yesterday I baked 100 cookies and decorated them with red and green sprinkles. All I need now is you." I thought I'd share the card that I gave Debbie. I asked for permission. And I got a card, and I found that one, you know, the plastic's over, so you got to take the plastic off is to protect it. It says, "To my wife," up front, and inside is very thought-provoking. "Merry Christmas." Now, you know better. That's not really what it says, and I'm not really going to share what's in there, because I picked out a card that what I thought would be special from me to my wife. My point is that words can be moving. Express sadness, express joy, sympathy. Words can affect our emotions. But let me tell you about God's word. God's word is powerful. And furthermore, his word is alive in Jesus Christ. And there is probably no better passage that brings that back into focus than our gospel reading that we heard this morning. This is another one of those passages that we hear every year on the first Sunday after Christmas. It might be glossed over by many just as an introduction to John's gospel. We talked about it over the last couple of weeks. Sometimes we say, don't yada yada the gospel or the word. We need to look and see what it's saying in those introductions. John writes with passion. Something has happened to John, like all the other disciples, and he wants to convey that message in a powerful way. There is excitement. There is power. We all have special verses or passages in the Bible that really speak to us. Maybe it helped us get through an issue that we've had or continue to encourage us. I have several that are like that. One of my favorites is the message from Philip and the Ethiopian in the book of Acts. And this is up right up there with one of my favorites as well. So today I want to continue on, as I've said on Christmas Eve, I spoke about the fact that God is with us. Well, I want to continue on that thought today. Because in essence, that is a huge part of what John is saying here in this prologue to his gospel. It is rich. It is describing just who Jesus is. And he unfolds history in one passage. So let's break it down a bit. John tells us at the beginning, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John is pulling together in these few passages some very important aspects about Jesus. One is, Jesus was present at creation. Another is, his proclamation by the prophets of his coming. And still another is his coming in the flesh. If you look at the comparisons in Genesis and see how God created the heavens and the earth, and he brought light into the darkness, out of chaos, he created something beautiful with purpose. In verse 3, John says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God, Jesus, as part of the Godhead, spoke his word, and it came to pass. God created life, and he created man and woman, and his spirit was in them. There was a completeness in his relationship that is unlike any other. They were uniquely bonded to each other and to God. You see, the first couple were to live a life that is above all other creatures on earth. He gave them the ability to grow and to discover as they grew. That is no mistake. That is something special. When you actually look at the incredible odds of any of this just randomly happening by chance, the odds are astronomically off the charts. On top of that, he gave us this wonderful gift to choose, a free will, like no other creature. God gave this gift because he wanted a people to choose to be in fellowship with him. Not to worship him because we have to, but because we choose to out of our love for him. And even though there was this separation through choosing to rebel against God, God's word always has been. He was in the beginning with God. All through the centuries, all through the numerous words of the prophets, as God was calling people back, Jesus was in all of that. He saw it unfold. Jesus also knew that at the right time, in the right place, he would become one of us. And this is where John becomes passionate about his proclamation. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus saw the fall of man. Jesus saw history unfold. And then John writes, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, John is emphasizing what they experienced. That is real, not just a story, not just a bunch of rules. God is real. He came to us. And this breaks all the barriers of man's religious beliefs. No other faith can claim those words. Because there is only one creator, and he came only once for redemption, and he will come again for judgment. God is a relational God who desires us to have a unique personal relationship. He is not a God that we have to work our way to. He is not a God that requires all kinds of knowledge to get there. He is a God who came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wanted to make right what was wrong with mankind. He wanted to create a way that we can get back to the Father and to do that as a matter of choice. From the very beginning, Christ has been a part of the Godhead, the Trinity. He is the Word made flesh. But look what else John says. He said, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right, or some translations say the power, to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What a privilege. God has given us the power to become his children. What an honor. What a blessing. That's not something like some that comes automatically, as some New Age theology might teach. It is something given to us as we receive him into our lives. John says, all who receive him, all who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. There has to be an act of faith. There has to be an act of calling on his name. There has to be a birthing of our spirit that turns away from sin and towards God. Salvation is not just words we say. It is turning of the heart from one direction and going in the other direction. that leads right into the arms of Jesus. And Paul emphasizes this in our epistle reading today. He said, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. With Christ in our lives, our cry out to God is like crying out, Dad, Daddy. That's what Abba, Father means. That's how close God wants us to be to him. But sometimes even Christians can push God away, to keep him at a distance. Some are afraid for whatever reason, and there could be many. But God wants to change that. He wants to mold us into something beautiful. Isaiah reminds us today, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness, that is, getting right with God, and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Isaiah is making a prophetic point. No one can make a plant sprout from a garden. The seed is planted and it grows, and what it is created to do. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And that's exactly what God does with us. God wants to reach into those areas of our lives and allow what is sown to sprout forth. He takes the old and makes something new. That is what we were created to be. Do you believe that? There's no doubt that Adam and Eve were created perfect in God's image. There is no doubt that we were created in Adam's image through Seth, as Genesis 5 tells us. With that comes inherited sin. We have taken on the sin nature, but God wants to do much more in our lives. He wants to become us to become his children. He has provided an opportunity for redemption. John speaks of it as light. We talked about that on Christmas Eve. Jesus brings light, which is new life, where there is once darkness, which is life without him. John is passionate about what has taken place. Why is John so passionate? Because John has been on a journey that continues in his life, like we all have. Listen to his passion from his first epistle that he wrote in 1 John 1:1-3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John is reflecting on a lot of things here. He has seen the Lord. He has experienced the Lord. He has witnessed the Lord. He was on that mountain during the transfiguration with the Lord. But beyond that, he, as well as the other disciples, have now also experienced a heart change with the Lord. He has experienced God's Spirit filling him with his power. He has moved into experiencing God here and now, not just physically seeing him. That's why, despite all the opposition life gave out to the Apostle John and the other disciples, they never lost their passion. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord, as your Savior, no matter what happens, you don't lose your passion. That which they knew made them complete. The Word made flesh in Jesus. And that Word comes alive in us as well. God's Spirit never changes. His Word never changes. He put all things in their courses for our benefit. He has given us an opportunity to live and move in that order under his direction. I want to encourage you today to allow the Word to come alive in you. Allow the Word to fill you with all that the Father has for you. Allow the Word to saturate you with the very core, to the very core of your being. Allow the Word to flow out of you as you turn more and more of your life over to him. The Word made flesh still dwells among us. He is alive, and by His life-giving Spirit will transform us and use us in wonderful ways. That's why our prayer should be, Lord, give me Your Word. Allow it to come alive in me. Allow me to learn from You. Allow me to grow in You. Allow Your Spirit to fill me with Your presence, and then see what He will do through each of us as we continue living our lives out for Him. And I guarantee you, there will be no empty envelopes in front of you. Nothing but a life filled with His Spirit, His Word. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your life-giving Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that You want us to come to You in our own free will, with hearts that are changed to You. So, Father, if there's anybody here who's never experienced that, I ask, Lord, that You would allow their heart to be softened, to know that You are present, to know that You want them in Your life, and they can have You in their life. So, Father, I ask that You would move through all of us. And we thank You so much for what You have done for us, and the opportunities that You give us to carry that Word into the world around us. Help us, Lord God, to grow in all that You have for us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would work mightily in the hearts of every person here. Fill us with Your Word. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.